We're going to be soon starting a series on the book of Galatians. A couple of chapters, doesn't take long to read. I encourage you to read through Galatians before next week. Honestly, it might take you 20 minutes to read through the book of Galatians, and I encourage you to do that. The Spanish writer in the 16th century, Miguel de Cervantes, is that my Spanish? Said, a proverb is a short sentence based on long experience. A proverb is a short sentence based on long experience. Well, I think he's probably right. They are enduring truths that time and time again, over generation and generation, have proven to be true. And so we're going to be having a quick look at the book of Proverbs, first couple of Proverbs, actually, chapters. I don't think Proverbs should be taken as promises, okay? It's not the book of promises, it is the book of Proverbs. For example, on the screen, Proverbs 12:21. No harm overtakes the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. And most times that's very true, but there are times when we do see the righteous harmed, don't we? In our world, we see the righteous harmed. Of course, we could start saying, well, are we talking about eternal harm? But I don't think that's what it's talking about. The Proverbs is about life here, about how to live life. Even the psalmist, Psalm 73, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I nearly lost my foothold. Why? For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. See, the wicked can be prosperous. The wicked can... Look, he goes on verse 4. They have no struggles. Don't they seem like that when you see them on their yachts going around the harbour? They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They're not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. And the wicked can appear to have the perfect life. But that doesn't negate the Proverbs. It doesn't prove it to be wrong. Proverbs are norms of life that is best to be followed. Just like today, doctors have a proverb for us. The doctor, medical people. Smoking will shorten your life, okay? That's a modern-day medical proverb. Now, immediately, you're racing through, trying to think of that 98-year-old lady who's had two packs a day since she was 16, aren't you? Like, you're thinking, well, there's always an exception to that rule, but it doesn't negate, it doesn't prove the proverb wrong, does it? Smoking will shorten your life. Proverbs and wisdom in the Bible are very practical. It tells you the best way to live. The whole gamut of life is addressed from the A's to the Z. And so I'm going to give you the A's to the Z. Proverbs talks about your abilities, your business, your conduct, your desires, your emotions, your family, generosity, your human nature, your integrity, your justice, your kindness, your laziness, your marriage, your neighbours, your obligations, your patience, your quietness, your reputation, your seduction, teaching, unworthiness, vengeance, wealth, I had to cheat here, extracting yourself from foolishness, and zeal. The Bible is the only place, it's not the only place where the Proverbs can be found. Wisdom in the form of Proverbs can be found in every culture. Every culture have their Proverbs. Because wisdom, this wisdom is based upon observing the world over a long period of time. Proverbs and wisdom, I think, is almost the outward working of the sixth commandment. Let me tell you what it is. Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Paul reminds us that this is the first commandment of the promise. You'll live long in the blessing God gives you. Now, most generations, most young people try to work out, when do I have to stop honouring my parents? You know, is it 16, is it 18, is it 21? But this command, like all commands, is for our good. It recognises our parents who have lived longer than us may have had wisdom in dealing with things that perhaps we've not yet come across. It also works on the assumption, and I admit that sometimes an assumption is wrong, that the people that you can trust most in the world are the people who brought you into the world. I know that's not always the case. The Proverbs themselves come from a long line of parents, of generation after generation after generation, who through trial and error have proven a proverb to be true. They are about life experiences, and the wisdom talks to about those life experiences. And in a way, a person who is an utter atheist, a person who does not acknowledge God at all, could take these proverbs, live them out, and their life would be better because they've lived out these proverbs in life. They may have missed out the whole point of life, but their life would be better. Many of these proverbs are what the King Solomon had, or King Solomon put together. He was a gatherer of proverbs. Knowing he speak proverbs, he sought them out and collected them. So let me first go to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 7, where we read, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables and the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." It doesn't matter where you are in life, applying yourself to the Proverbs is a good thing to do. You'll gain understanding. It's no surprise to me that words such as wisdom, prudence, and discipline are not words that are very well valued in our society, I think. Instead of wisdom, our society wants smarts, don't they? They want something. They want cleverness. Instead of discipline, they want freedom. They want to be free to do anything they want. Rather than prudence, they want to have fun. They want to enjoy life. But this wisdom will benefit both the clever and the simple. It will add to their learning and give guidance. If you want to have the true keys to a successful life, now, you want to actually have your life worth something, then the Proverbs give us the key. Look at verse 7 again. Verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." The fear of the Lord. Have we got it up there? The fear of the Lord, that's actually the name of Yahweh. That's the personal name of God. It doesn't look it up there because it normally has capital L, capital O, capital R, capital E. That is the Lord. That's Yahweh. Other Bibles, the older Bibles say Jehovah. This is the personal name. A relationship with God is the beginning of knowledge. It's a bit of beginning, not just doing the Proverbs, but understanding life. Fearing God, having a relationship with God. It's not talking about being scared like a horror movie. It talks about being in a right relationship with God, of reverence, a relationship which you fully appreciate, because he's our creator and we are the creatures. If you understand that, you understand that God is we can be in a right relationship with God. We need to understand that. He is pure and holy. We are born in sin. We are invited into a relationship with God through Jesus. To fear God is to accept and enjoy that relationship. Accept and enjoy the relationship. That is what fearing the Lord means. Accepting, enjoying the relationship we can have through Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. If you've been to a court, the magistrate is in a position of authority over you, and it doesn't actually matter whether you're actually convicted of a crime or being charged with a crime. You're in his court. You know, He can put you to jail just for doing something wrong in his court. You know, like he has an authority. And so you are wise to have a reverent fear of the magistrate. But if you happen to see him at the barbecue, your neighbour's barbecue next door, well, you don't actually have to have that fear because he doesn't have that authority anymore. He's just a normal person. But in the courtroom, we have to fear, we have a reverent fear. We don't act the way we want to. That's the same with God. You know, God is who he is. When we understand who he is, we can't just be blasé with God or just do whatever we want. To acknowledge the authority of God over us is the beginning of a wise life. We need to have a deep reverence of God if you want to live well. But you find that wisdom is often mentioned right next to discipline. Now, Bob mentioned faith and obedience today in our talk, didn't he? Like, I don't know if you've thought about it before, that increasing your faith, you increase obedience. You act upon what you've already been given. So being given a little mustard seed of faith, if you live out your obedience from that faith, then you will increase, it will grow. And wisdom has with it discipline. Now, discipline is not punishment, okay? Discipline is not punishment. If you learn the discipline of playing the piano, there's going to be times when you want to give up. But you try it when you take the discipline of piano playing, you train your mind and your body to act as one in producing music. Wisdom and discipline go together because there's no value in knowing the wisdom if you don't live it out. I don't know how many people I've known, you know, professionals, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists who have remarkable learning, but in their lives are shambles, absolute shambles in their private lives. Wisdom and discipline needs to go together. You need to know, you need to understand the wisdom so that you can live it out. We are training our bodies, in understanding wisdom, we are training our bodies to live it out, and that's the discipline. Proverbs 17:14 is one of those ones that are hard to live out. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. So let me give you a scenario. You are in, there's an argument with someone, there's a potential argument. You're in the right, okay? Maybe you've been wrong. Isn't it hard to give up the argument? The Bible here says it's like breaching a dam. Now you put a little hole in the dam, and it just overwhelms you. It hurts yourself. It doesn't actually say that only if you're in the wrong, but even if you're in the right. Sometimes the discipline of this wisdom is going to be hard to live out, but we are far better to live it out. The first 9 chapters of the Proverbs are written as a father is speaking to his son. It's a love, you know, encourage you to read it. It's a lovely way that it's intended to give wisdom from a loving father. Let me read from verse 8 of chapter 1. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They'll be garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood, let's waylay someone, harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who get out of the pit. We'll get all sorts of valuable things and fill our house with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we will share a common purse. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set your foot on that path. For their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gains. It takes away the lives of those who get it. As I looked out this morning, I don't see many people here thinking, oh, I'm going to go out and waylay someone. You know, let's go and hide behind the bush and jump someone who next comes along. But it does, I think this helps us understand what we're going to see on the news tonight, okay? Well, what are we going to hear from King's Cross? Drunken, bashing, another guy, King hit. What are we going to hear about from the bikies, okay? They're shooting each other. What about the drug gangs? We know what's happening there. The fact that the police say I was a targeted attack doesn't make me feel that much better, actually, does it, when thoughts are flying? Imagine if every father of this nation lived this out. They actually lived it out. Then when they had sons, they actually told their sons how to live this way. Imagine if that happened. What would be on the news tonight? There'd be just a few little things, nice things, wouldn't there? If only our society took this wisdom and lived it out, how different would it be? This proverb gives us an understanding of why people do it. Verse 14. Throw in your lot with us and we'll share a common purse. To feel a part of a group, to be free to share with like-minded people, is what we long to do. Each one of us, we all long to do that, to be a part of some group of like-minded people. We often hear the words, they talk about tribalism or modern-day groups of common interests, the football players, you know. Some people actually even wear their shirts, you know. What about the crime gangs? The crime gangs, you know, we see that they have there's a commonality. What is it that is so shocking about the bikers on the news? They wore their colours into the club. Now, they're a united group, they're a brotherhood, they're a tight group. And this is the invitation for this young guy. Come and share our purse. You don't share purses with people who are not committed to the group, are you? The more we reject people, actually, the more in our society, the more that these invitations are so inviting. Come and be a part of us. You will be one with us. Isn't that what we want to do here? We want to be one with each other. We want to be a body. We want to be a community. Everyone has that desire. Everyone wants to go that way. The cost of wisdom, there's a cost. Wisdom comes freely, but there's a cost. It's discipline. It's a bit like faith. If you want to grow your faith, grow your obedience. It just doesn't get sprinkled out like from a salt shaker. If you've ever been to Parkley Markets, the fruit section, I love it. Watermelon, dollar, 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 dollar. You know, they're yelling out their wares, you know, and they're yelling different things, and they're offering something, aren't they? Well, wisdom can be freely given to anyone, freely, but a heart needs to be seeking wisdom, a willingness to be under discipline. Look at verse 20. Wisdom calls out aloud on the street. You got this picture? This wisdom's out in the street, out in the community, in the marketplace, yelling out. She raises a voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gates of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I'll mock you when your calamity comes over you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelms you, then they'll call to me, but I will not answer. They'll look for me, but no one will find me. Since they hated knowledge, did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Wisdom is not hidden from people. It's not something that only the rich can afford. It is openly and publicly called out. Come and take the wisdom, all that you want. They might... I just think about people... I think in my own life, I think in other people's lives, and where they've acted foolishly. You know, they've chosen to do something foolish. There's a sense after a while that you think, well, you know, I've got away with it. I mean, have you ever thought of that? I think I've got away with it. Like, you know, it was a foolish thing I did. I've got away with it. But then, a couple of years later, maybe a decade later, and the things that you've planted in your heart back then come to fruition. And things go terribly wrong. That's when we blame God, don't we? You know, we did the foolish thing 10 years ago. We thought we got away with it. God, why are you letting this happen? Why did you let this happen to me? Where we are told time and time again in the Bible, we sow what we reap. If we sow seeds of foolishness, we'll reap disaster in our lives. But the problem is clear, verse 29. It's very clear. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They chose not to stay in a right relationship with God. Now, this is not exclusive to people who aren't believers. Not just talking about non-believers here. Today, any one of us is able to defy God. We can actually think at times, I want this so much, God, really, how can you stop me? And do you know what? Sadly, sometimes he doesn't stop us. Sometimes he does, and thank God for that. But sometimes he doesn't, and we sow the seeds of foolishness, and we reap the seeds of hardship. I want to read the first 6 verses of Proverbs 2. Again, it's a father to his son. My son, and you are the sons, okay, and daughters. You know, you are the sons. You are the children he's talking about. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commandments within you, turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. If you call out for insight, cry aloud for understanding. And if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as hidden treasure, so we're searching for it as hidden. It's actually not hidden, it's actually being offered freely. But if you have an attitude of searching it out, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. How many times does the world say that modern-day proverb, money doesn't buy you happiness? We hear it all the time, don't we, on the television and newspapers. Do you think our world believes that? No. I think they think, well, I'd rather be happy and rich. So let's go after money. These verses give us the best understanding that life dedicated to wisdom brings us understanding and knowledge of God. If you're searching for God, you're searching for this truth. That is because wisdom and knowledge comes from him. He's the author of it, okay? Wisdom and knowledge is his idea. So if you discover it, we discover something more about God. And that's the whole reason for us being here. And that's why we can actually do the Proverbs, but it's if we live them out that's important. But again, we come back to Jesus, who is the one who is best to show us God to us. I want to read from Proverbs 3. I'm just going to read the proverb, the chapter. It's a lovely proverb. Listen to the words. It's just try to take it in. My son, Do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you'll win favour and a good name in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body, nourishment to your bones. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crop. Then your barns will be filled overflowing, your vats will be brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, do not resent his rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she, wisdom, is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the deeps was divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you'll go on in your way in safety. Your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or ruin that takes over the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbour, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you had it now, when you now have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbour who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done you no wrong. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the Lord detests a perverse man, but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honour, but fools he holds up to shame. Wisdom is an offer today, okay? Freely. You can just choose to follow as a set of rules, and your life will be so much better, but it would be meaningless. As wisdom and knowledge comes from God, go to the very source of wisdom and knowledge. Why drink from a dirty old creek when you go to the most wonderful fountain that gives eternal life? That's the whole purpose of Jesus becoming human. Emmanuel, God with us, so that he would die and be raised again, so that we'd be free to have utter access to God and all the wisdom and knowledge we can have. Proverbs is a wonderful book. 31 chapters. How many days in this month? 31. Hey, it's a great thing. Why don't you go home and read chapter 6 today? You'll get to October 31st and you'll finish the Proverbs. Go back to November 1 to 1 to 6, and it'll be so much worthwhile to find knowledge and wisdom. That is our greatest joy. Let's just pray.